All right, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by Jake Thompson from On Three. Jake, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brendan. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, no problem. I always appreciate your time. But Jake is coming to you live from Jacksonville, Florida, the greatest city in the South. Completely unbiased, as usual. Yeah, Jake, how's everything?
Good. Got in now dinner time Sunday, no, Monday night, forgot what day it was. And right after this, media gets to see their first practice, or it might even be availability. But Ole Miss has been here for a couple of days, so just kind of getting back in the swing of thing after they had a lengthy time off in terms of competitive games. So it's, over a month between the Egg Bowl and the Gator Bowl. So ready to finally put this season to bed.
Yeah, you were telling me that it's a little bit of a drive from your hotel to where they're practicing. I'm like, yeah, that's Jacksonville for you. So,
Yeah, Google Maps, I clicked the wrong address and I thought, oh, it's just right down the street. And I was like, that doesn't look like a college campus to me. So then I readjusted and said, oh, okay, I haven't ever been to North Florida, the University of North Florida, so I got to find my way there.
well, good luck with that. But in general, just how are you feeling about the bowl game here?
Good. On paper, just from the opt-outs and the portal and what Duke is apparently not going to have, especially on offense. This feels like a lopsided roster and matchup because of the rosters. But then you sit here and say that, and it could end up being like a 10-7 rock fight at halftime. That's just kind of how these bowl games go. It's kind of unpredictable. But I feel on paper that this is a game, especially with Ole Miss having probably 90% of its roster now, because we've had a few guys that would probably play or contributors that have hit the portal. And since we don't get to see practice and we haven't talked to anybody in a couple of weeks, hard to know if they're here practicing and will be at least available or if they've left the program altogether. But it feels like that Ole Miss is the better team and maybe the more motivated team, especially with kind of their leaders announcing weeks ago that, hey, we're going to see this through. And they really had no, it didn't have to. Everybody would have expected them to start their draft process, but the Walter Nolans, the Jackson Darts, Jared Ivies are seem motivated to see this through. So it feels like a game that should be in hand by halftime, and maybe Ole Miss lets the future take over, in the second half. But only time will tell come Thursday night.
Yeah, I think sort of the big thing for me is that, Duke is down to, I believe, his third string quarterback due to, stuff with the transfer portal. We're looking at Henry Bellin the fourth, which is simultaneously a great, name for a Duke quarterback, but also I think one that would be at home in Oxford. But, yeah, you got to feel pretty good about this Ole Miss defense going up against a quarterback who basically hasn't played.
Yeah, you would assume that, these bowl games are kind of basic, bare bones. I don't think you try a lot of too much creativity. Maybe you have a couple of fun plays just to get the fans excited, but it's really kind of just the basic necessities. So, I mean, if I was Pete Golding, defense coordinator, I would just put the, pin the ears back on the defensive line since you've got all four of your starters there. And we know what they are. Well, five, I guess, with Perkins, Sunter and Perkins. I would just blitz all day long and see what that offensive line can do and what that quarterback can do, who probably hasn't seen a lot of experience, ACC, non-conference, any of that. So it's, I think the lights might be a tad bright. And if I was Golding, I would take advantage of that in that first 15 minutes.
Yeah, the most substantial playing time I can find was last year against NC State, where he went 4 for 12, but for 107 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. So.
Yeah, I couldn't. That's about all I could find, and I didn't have much "quote unquote" scouting reports on him. When you try to find something, anything to kind of go off of, so it is kind of the bare bones. It's unfortunate for Duke. They got the kid transferred in, their starter this year, got him to this point, and then decided to opt out. I think he's already committed to a new home, new team, and then the second string followed him, and I don't know if he's found a new place. So he could be down here, but all reports seem to be that it would be the third string guy getting the snaps, which, obviously the quarterback room, the box is checked in Ole Miss's favor because you got Dart and you got Austin Simmons. So I think they're fine with whatever they do compared to that. But I just see Duke Maybe, and you say, hey, they can hand the ball off and just let the quarterback kind of stay out of the way, but then Duke's running back also hit the portal, and I do not believe he is with them either. I don't think he's down here. So they've really lost a lot of their offense in just a matter of a couple weeks.
Yeah, speaking of Jackson Dart, I think it's just kind of interesting, that, for a lot of the year it was like, kind of the narrative was, the last dance or whatever. And it may not be the way that they wanted to end out, but I just think it's really interesting that, virtually nobody has really opted out for Ole Miss. And it's just a really interesting opportunity to see, them go out on a high note. Especially for Dart in the offense.
Yeah, you've got most of your guys. Trey Harris obviously is out. He got hurt again in that Florida game and did not play in the Egg Bowl and has had surgery here recently. I know he's accepted I think the East West Shrine Bowl invite. Now, that's at the end of like January 30th. That's going to be at least a month or so since he had surgery. I don't know the extent of the surgery, but I'm guessing he's just going to probably do more meetings with scouts and NFL guys than maybe do actual physical stuff, because I can't see him being full go by then, and probably would hold off for pro day. But that's about your only loss you have. You got Bentley, who kind of has to be the running back now, despite all the narrative around that situation this year, with Henry Parrish out, Matt Jones hit the portal, Micah Davis, who was the running back for whatever reason in the Florida game, he's hit the portal. So I think it's going to be Bentley, and supposedly there's reports and out there that Logan Diggs, the LSU transfer who's been hurt all year because he got hurt about this time a year ago in LSU's bowl game, has been out, but he's been practicing. I think it's still going to be limited action because I think he's still been in a knee brace, but we could see him maybe in a couple packages. I don't expect him to get heavy carries. I think that's Bentley. So, for the most part, Dart's got his receivers, Watkins, Lee, maybe Juice Wells. I don't know if he's stick through it or not. He's kind of been quiet. You got your two tight ends, and you got a run game that Bentley can do something if you allow him. So yeah, I think offensively, Ole Miss is the heavy favorite in that kind of matchup when you put him on the tail of the tape, so to speak.
Yeah, just overall, like, what did you think of, Ole Miss having so many guys who want to play in this bowl game? I'm assuming that we're not going to have any, Cam Ward type situations here.
I can't see that. I don't see Dart like that. I don't see that kind of personality. If he's for him to make such a big deal about playing in it, and I'm not saying a negative, that he put an announcement, put a video out, like saying, let's finish this out. And then that echoed through the locker room of guys we've got to talk to this month since the bowl announcement. I don't see any halftime guys, unless Kiffin just says, hey, let's let Austin have some reps. That would be the only reason I see Dart not playing, but not because Dart chooses to just say, all right, I got my record that I think there's one record that's within reach. He needs like 180 passing yards, and then he passes Matt Corral, I think, for the season total passing record around a little over 4,000 yards. So there is a record in play, but I don't think that's the reason he's sticking through. I think he just wants to get a little bit more film, for scouts, and then I believe he's also doing one of those Reese's or Shrine Bowl games at the end of January and first February. So he just wants another piece of film to give them. But I also think they just didn't like how the season ended. I think they're a little motivated to kind of show that they're the Ole Miss that everybody expected them to be, and want to kind of just put a bow on this season in their own way, and not just say, well, 9-3 didn't make the playoffs, we're out, see you later. So I think there's a lot of just motivation to prove that they want to be the best that they can be.
Yeah, I think that's just a very like interesting thing, especially considering how much, that just how many guys are returning. Maybe it feels like one of those just like old cores moving, moving on. And you just kind of think back to what all a lot of those guys have done over the last, 3 years to elevate Ole Miss. I mean, you're looking at a potential, third 10 plus win season, or third season in the last 4 years, with at least 10 wins, and that just doesn't really happen in Oxford.
Ole Miss had maybe less than a handful before this stretch started. And, like you said, you're right. You've got guys that have been here. Jared Ivey's been here 3 years now. Dart, 3 years. Watkins, 3 years after he was with Louisville, that before he came and played against Ole Miss in the season opener in Atlanta, and then transferred in after that season. And so you got those are three guys that have been here 3 years. Prescorn's been here two. So I know Ole Miss is big into that transfer portal and kind of rotating players in and out, but you did manage to get a core that to stay multiple years. And you're right, they've got a chance to finish with between 30 and 40 wins. I don't remember the math off the top of my head, but 10 win season, an 11 win season last year, and then the chance to go 10 and 3 this year. And then you had that 8 win season a couple of years ago in between, what ended with that loss to Texas Tech in the Texas Bowl. But that season kind of feels like an aberration, like an anomaly with the stretch that they've been on. So I think that's also part of it is the guys want to have a proper thank you and make sure that they send off or that they leave the program where it's heading in the right way.
I mean, I do think, speaking of that 2022 team, I think that this team is obviously like a lot better than that 2022 team, but you can fall into like a very similar like narrative of, disappointing year. You end up playing in a, let's be honest, not very important bowl game, against a, I can't imagine that, like Texas Tech is not, the kind of game that you really get up for. No disrespect to Texas Tech, but it doesn't have that, I guess, appeal. And they go out and lose 42-25 to Texas Tech. Is there any concern, like, something similar could happen this week?
No, I think from that first sentence you said there, this is a totally different team. Same players, but just a totally different complete team as a whole, makeup wise, mentality wise. And I think there's some frustration. I think you want to take some frustration out. Like, this is a disappointment of a season because of the last dance stuff that was announced, almost this time a year ago with Dart and some other players coming back in the playoff talk. And you sit here and you're a 65-yard, 70-yard, however long it was, play pass to Barry and Brown from probably making the playoffs. I know the Florida game was the last loss, but and they have kind of taken they have taken that Kentucky LSU loss out of the equation. But then you lose that third loss, you go, well, how do we lose to this Kentucky team that lost once? So there was a lot of frustration, and we were right there. We did it to ourselves, and I think that's also part of it is there's a ton of motivation to not be that team 2 years ago in Houston. A couple of days after Christmas, that just looked kind of lost and kind of out of it, going through the motions. And Texas Tech, the better team this year, I think Ole Miss is the much better team, especially now with the rosters that they brought down here.
How do you think turnout is going to be in Jacksonville? Have you seen anybody wearing Ole Miss stuff yet?
I haven't, but since the game's Thursday, that people probably start trickling in today for New Year's stuff, I'm sure, and then tomorrow. But like you said, Jacksonville's a big city. It's not like kind of one of those where you go to a game and everybody's kind of concentrated in one area for those regular season type games and you see everybody. But I think you'll see people come in. I don't know how many. I know the mood was not great just because there are so many other bowl destinations that we were told and that we thought were in the running. And then they rattle off and you see Alabama take Tampa, which is where they thought Ole Miss might go because Citrus Bowl was going to take South Carolina. So you lose Orlando, you lose Tampa, and then obviously what's left is Gator Bowl, and it was either Gator Bowl or like Music City or something else. And I know that these games are kind of quote unquote elevated because the New Year's Six games are absorbed into the playoffs. So a 9-win team or a 10-win team doesn't get those anymore unless you're in the playoffs. And those aren't guaranteed unless you get to that round. So and it was kind of a disappointment among the fan base. I haven't seen what ticket sales have been. I mean, it is a massive stadium, what, 60 something maybe? And I don't know how many of it's an NFL size stadium, obviously. So I don't know how full it'll be. You might can attest to if this is a game that locals will go to just because it's usually a decent matchup in terms of teams they might know. And I know Ole Miss sold a bunch, but how many that was, I don't know. And I if Duke fans care, they might enjoy coming down to Florida, so they may travel. But I think it's going to be heavy Ole Miss fans, but what that ratio is, I don't know. And then I would assume maybe locals buy some tickets to come, but I don't see it being sold out because I feel like that would have been hyped by now. Or hey, it's trending towards that, but I don't think it's going to look empty. But it's probably going to be closer to maybe 80% full.
Yeah, no, as it, when it comes to seeing people in Ole Miss gear and stuff, it does not help that Jacksonville does not exactly have a happening downtown, but that is a lesson for another time. But yeah, you know, the Gator Bulls attendance has been I would say a little more up and down in recent years. I'm just looking through the numbers. Like last year, Clemson, Kentucky drew like 40,000, but the year prior they had Notre Dame and South Carolina and they had, you know, 67,000. So really, it's really, I guess, sort of matchup heavy, matchup dependent. But I mean, you know, right now, I mean, I was just looking through like SeatGeek, for example, like, you know, the cheapest ticket available is $60. So, you know, it's actually more expensive than the playoff games right now. So.
Yeah, you know, like I said, of the two fan bases, I think obviously Ole Miss will be the one that will travel. I had no knowledge of Duke football fandom and if they travel or how far they travel. So I would assume whatever the fan base skew is, it'll lean closer to Ole Miss.
I mean, just, you know, what are some, you know, big keys for you for this one?
I think just playing clean for Ole Miss. Don't get in your own way, because I think that's the only way they would lose this game is if they get in their own way. I don't think Duke can stop that offense. I know that they're 9-3 and they played in the ACC, but the ACC wasn't that great this year. And Ole Miss says, you know, despite the losses, they are kind of more battle tested in the SEC. So I think that's the first key. I think the second key is O line. What will this O line do? It's been up and down. Most of them are there. Michael Pettis, you know, won't be there. He hit the portal, and reports where he was dismissed after the Egg Bowl anyway, and now he's just down the road at Tallahassee is where he committed. But for the most part, everybody else is there. And then, I know it's kind of keys to the game, a regular season type thing, but defensively, I'd like to see the secondary be a little bit better. They've got most of their guys on. Lewis Moore hit the portal and returned back to Indiana. I don't know if Yar's already left, but I assumed if he's committed, he's probably left. Same with Walker Howard, who's probably heading to back home to Lafayette and play with Louisiana, so he's probably already gone as well. But yeah, I would just like to see kind of the stuff that was iffy all throughout the season at times, try to be a little more cleaned up, shored up, and then I want to see the future. I want to see the younger defensive linemen, the three guys from Mississippi that they signed, and Echols, Franklin, and Beavers, maybe let them get some reps. And this all hinges on if the game's in hand and they want to let the young guys get more than just the last 8 minutes or 6 minutes of the game, garbage time stuff. But I think that's possible because I just feel like Ole Miss is the better team. So it really hinges on key number one. Don't get in your own way. Maybe Kiffin shouldn't overthink things. He's been better at that, but then he's kind of regressed at times of overthinking situations or trying gambling, being too cute when he shouldn't at times. Not as much, but it still pops up. You know, I know it's still tempting for a coach that that's his tendencies to feel like the analytics say this, but yeah, I think it's simplicity is the keys.
Yeah, you know, I do think it's funny you brought up the offensive line because I feel like that's just the key for this Ole Miss team all the time is, you know, if they can just hold up a bit, you know, if they can keep Dart just, you know, clean a little more, if they can just, you know, open up, you know, a couple more holes on, you know, in the run game, it's just such a game breaker for them. And, you know, I feel like the difference between that and, you know, really bad days on the offensive line for Ole Miss is, you know, kind of the big key for them pretty much every
Yeah,
game.
the one stat for both defenses is tackles for loss. Ole Miss is number one in the country, Duke's number two. Now that was with a full roster on both sides. I haven't heard much about Duke opt-outs on defense at all. So I would assume both defenses are mostly at full strength. So that kind of leads into what you were saying. Don't let Dart get behind the sticks or get sacked or get a play where a guy gets hit behind the sticks and they're behind schedule on that possession. So I think if they limit the tackles for loss, Ole Misses, that is, and I think that they control this game and kind of maybe do what they want with it and set the score where they want with it and take the pedal off if they want to.
Yeah, just I don't know, it was just anything that you know, I haven't really touched on you want to talk about.
Recruiting wise, I know some guys have. High school guys have come in already. I think they're allowed to practice. Obviously, can't play in a game, but mid-year enrollees, some guys are here. Obviously, a transfer portal closed Saturday, but for Ole Miss, anybody playing after Saturday, they get like that 5-day window. So I'm sure the portal action will be busy again, especially with these playoff teams. I'm sure some guys off these last eight teams that are still in will hit. So obviously, Ole Miss will be busy in that, and then we just kind of get ready for basketball and spring football, and then everybody's favorite sport, baseball, comes up. So it's kind of that weird time where it's kind of quiet, but then suddenly it's not so quiet.
We can talk about the transfer portal a little bit. Ole Miss is sitting at 15 commits, which I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head, but it feels weird to say that Ole Miss only has 15 commits in the transfer portal right now.
Yeah, that past couple week or years of this, they've kind of at least hit the big splashes around this time of year and after Christmas. So we'll see what they do, because obviously once guys are in the portal, they have until classes start, which for Ole Miss is I think January 22nd or somewhere around there. Then it may even be to where you have until like February 3rd or whatever the last day to add a class. It's one of those two windows that kind of shuts down. So they've got another month or so of trying to get guys in the portal and then have them in class by late January when the semester starts. So that becomes the next kind of fun watch part of this is, all right, who's enrolled, who's here yet? And you kind of have to find out crowdsourcing ways of students, saying, oh, I saw so and so, on campus. So that's kind of how that works. But that's the next kind of big part of the transfer portal this time of year is getting them here, getting them enrolled, and trying to get those last minute commits, in early mid-January.
Like the last couple of years, the transfer portal takes have been in the 20s, so I'm interested to see where that ends up. But just, I mean, what'd you think of their transfer portal class so far?
It's different. It's kind of a little bit different from what they've done. I think it's a little more all-encompassing, kind of like their high school class recruiting class was. They've kind of covered some needs. There's still some needs they need to take care of. I know they don't need a quarterback in terms of a starter because they got Austin Simmons, but I think that's what's hurt them in the first place, is trying to get a quarterback out of the portal is convincing somebody to come and know that he's going to be the backup or the clipboard guy, fighting with number two with AJ Maddox, who will be a rising probably redshirt freshman from Oak Grove. So that's the kind of the one thing. They've gotten a lot of linebackers, cornerbacks. They've gotten a lot of defensive guys. I like what they've tried to do on the offensive line with a couple additions. And obviously they've had success with that Arkansas pipeline. Three more guys this year after getting Poupon last year and seeing what Pete Golding's defense can do with him, and encourage a couple of defensive guys from Arkansas to come. And then I like what they did with the tight end. They got a guy Luke Haas that can probably complement Dake Brown-White, who's probably going to be the starter, but they may battle for that starting spot, or they just kind of rotate that in. I think Luke was the fourth best receiver for Arkansas this past year, so he's got numbers. I like that. But running back, I think they still need to find some running backs. I know they got Kyren Lacy in. I know they tried to get Justice Haynes, but they didn't land him. And they've tried some other guys that have gone elsewhere, including the Tulane running back. I think they're still in the running for trying to. I think they're fighting with Oregon for that one because his brother is currently there, just signed with them. So there's still some moving parts, but right now I kind of like what they've done. And then obviously you get that 10-day period in April after spring practices, where I'm sure they'll try to beef up, the needs that they could get in this window, they'll try to get right before summer starts.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta like that, I mean, first off, I mean, just with everybody that they're losing after the season, you kind of figure that it was gonna be a pretty decently large, transfer portal class. I mean, that combined with, Lane Kiffin's usual attitude towards roster building. But, I think it's interesting that, they definitely shored up on the edges, with Principal Umanmielen and Deshaun Womack. But I mean, also, it always feels like they could use offensive line help, and snagging Patrick Kudus from Arkansas surely addresses that. And offensive line guys are just so hard to find in the portal.
Yeah, Ole Miss tried to get they got those two Washington guys last year in Bulow and the other guy whose name is now escaping me all of a sudden, but they just didn't quite pan out. They weren't the difference makers I think Ole Miss was hoping they'd be, and a lot of that was moving guys around because that the injury bug hit them right off the bat. at the one position on offense that they didn't need that to happen to, it happened to. And so they were guys out of position playing, and then they were just trying to find anything to shore up a run game and pass protection. And that's why, Prescorn and Wright didn't have the numbers that they have now in the back half of the season at the front end, because I think they were having to be used for run blocking or just pass protection because the offensive line wasn't getting it. So they whiffed kind of on those two Washington guys. So that's probably been something they've been a little more careful on evaluating this time around. I wouldn't be shocked if they get a couple more in the portal once everybody's done and see who hops in. But it's offensive line has always been the kind of the weird question mark for this offense, even, before Kiffin got here.
I mean, is there anything that you're keeping an eye on in this game when it comes to, next year and guys fighting for spots?
I will. Defensive line, kind of what I alluded to, is who might be that rotation next year. Who are they going to use, and will they rely more on the portal guys, like you said, the edge guys they brought in, who we won't see till spring practices start. But I think depth there, maybe depth on the offensive line. Who are they? What guys do they have faith in? They got Cam East to come back out of the portal after he hopped in it. They got him back the other day, and that was a positive. But how effective will he be? Time will tell. I just really want to see Simmons play. That's kind of the biggest one for me. Quarterback, obviously, that's going to be the big area everybody's going to watch next year, is how Simmons does and that taking over from Dart, and a team that's probably going to be a little not at you know a little depleted compared to this year's roster, in terms of next year, but still probably thinking that they can fight for that playoff spot and not trying to rebuild for 2026. I think 2025 postseason is still on the table, but it hinges on what Simmons does and how they shore up some of those key areas. And that's why I'd like to see more than a drive from him in meaningful time, which obviously Dart wanted back in against Georgia. That's not Simmons' fault or nobody's fault. Dart was going to go back in. But I'm just ready to kind of see the future at that position.
Especially with everything going on at Duke with the quarterback position right now, and Ole Miss basically having a full strength defense, you wonder if this could get out of hand in a hurry, and thus lead to another extended audition for at quarterback. But anyway, I know that you've got to go, so I just wanted to give you the floor for. To plug whatever you want to plug.
We're at omspirit.com on three. Feel free to sign up with us and read along as a compatible, complement to what Michael Katz does for y'all at the Journal. But find our stuff there. And I'm Jake Thompson on three on X, Twitter, Bird app, whatever you choose to call it these days. And that's kind of where you can find all our stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
I'm with you. This needs to be a game that is out of hand by halftime, if not before, because I think it can be if they just play, the quote unquote P's and Q's and, dot your I's, cross your T's, and do all that. I think that we can treat this as maybe a half or more of a second scrimmage, spring scrimmage game. I want to see what some of these guys can do that are supposedly replacing what's leaving. But I also want these guys that are on this year's team leaving to have the right send off. So, if there's a balance in there, that's what I'd like to see.
Great. You can follow Jake on Twitter at Jake Thompson on three. You can follow me on Twitter at BFerrell727. You can find all of our Ole Miss coverage at djournal.com. Jake, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
No problem, Brendan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks everyone for listening, and have a good one.